Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome along to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings. Yes, I'm back. I know Jack McCarran told you that I was on a little holiday, but the truth is that I was in the press box in Newbridge. I said to my boss in the Racing Post, the only way I'm hosting this podcast is if it's in the press box in Newbridge in St. Conlon's Park. Unfortunately, unlike the GAA, they didn't listen. So I've spent the last 2 weeks there. But we're back in situ in the Racing Post head office in Capel Street today. And I'm delighted to be joined by Aidan Taggy Fogarty for part one to preview the Munster and Leinster hurling finals. Two cracking contests we have in store. We're also joined by Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And in part two, where we have round three of the football qualifiers, we will be joined by former Meath forward Joe Sheridan. So lads, I suppose we have to kick off with Kildare. Aidan, I know you're a hurling man, but they got their way in the end. It's been all over the news here in Ireland, and you have to say Kildare certainly stood their ground and were verified.
Yeah, I think Kildare are absolutely right. You know, it was in black and white at the beginning. They had their option of playing at home. They had their right, and a home venue, as we've even seen in the hurling side of things, is huge. So I think Keane O'Neill was dead right in sticking his heels in and saying no to the GAA. You know, at times I think the GAA can kind of get ahead of themselves and just, they obviously wants a double header in Croke Park and the big fixture for television and money and whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, it's about football. It's about Kildare trying to get a victory over Mayo. So I think they're dead right. And the GAA had to give way because, in fairness, it is Mayo.
I have one question for you. As a former player at the highest level, okay? Just say this lingered on all week. And just say we got to Friday and the GAA were saying, Kildare, Kilkenny, if you don't turn up to Croke Park at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening, you will be out of the football or out of the hurling championship. You're a player with Kilkenny. You're after slogging all year. Would the players have given in and said, come on, Keane, we have to play this game. We're after training all year.
I don't think they would have had. I think they would have had to stick with their manager and stick with their beliefs. And if they sat down as a team and said, look, lads, this is our options of going to Croke Park or sticking to Kildare. What are we going to do? And if they all said, look, we'll stick with Kildare, well, then they have to go to their beliefs. And if they were thrown out of the championship or whatever the case may be, that was a decision they made in the dressing room at that time. And I wouldn't have, in fairness, I know we're training all year round, but a stance would have been taken. And I wouldn't have went to Croke Park if it didn't change it. As a whole, it's a team decided to.
Yeah, it was a siege mentality from Kildare. Damien, I know you've priced up a lot of markets on this. I know you've probably only got about 24 hours out of it. Was there any betting significantly on the match being in Newbridge?
Yeah, there was a good bit of interest on it, I suppose. It was the big story there for a couple of days. So, yeah, we took a good few bets on it. Originally, when we put it up, like, it was the walkover people wanted to back. But then Tuesday night, a lot of money came for it to be in Newbridge. And then, yeah, we kind of knew at that stage that it was looking like Newbridge.
What was the biggest price you were for the match to be in Newbridge?
I think when we put it up first, we were like about 5-2 on it being in Newbridge.
Okay.
So they really stuck to their guns, Kildare, and they got their way in the end.
They certainly did. But it's the small ball that we're interested in this weekend, lads. And starting at 2 o'clock, Cork v Clare in the Munster final, live on RTE. What a weekend of sport we have in store. And can we get some prices and handicaps from you, Damien, on this cracking Munster final?
Yeah, we can't split them in this game. Basically, we're evens both sides with 9-1 to draw. And then on the handicap, Cork plus 1, 8-11. Handicap draw 10-1. Clare minus 1, 5-4. And the same on the other side for Cork.
Now, Aidan, all our listeners know that you are an incredible tipster. That's the reason you're on here every week. It's because you're going to make our listeners money. Not even you could have predicted this Munster final at the start of the year, I think.
No, definitely not. Look, I was probably back in tip, and look, we all know the way that unfolded, but it's going to be a cracking game. Clare and Cork, Clare seem to be kind of on a rise at the minute. Cork already Munster Championships, haven't lost a game in the Munster Championship so far, and the two of them are very similar teams. They play kind of a possession game, and two of them are very fit. They're a young team, and they play a very, very fast game. So it's so hard to call. It's in Thurles. It's the two of them are on such a par, and look, the betting obviously says that as well.
And Clare, first of all, Aidan, we all knew what Cork could do last season. Clare have been in the doldrums a little bit since their All-Ireland success, and we knew they were capable of this, but would you say they've been the surprise packages of the championship so far?
I think they have, in fairness to them. Like, I think we're always kind of saying Clare have so much potential and, you know, that they can contest for Munster finals and things. But I think this year what happened to them was, first of all, beating Tipperary was a huge monkey off their back. And Podge Collins coming back in the form that he is. Them two things, coupled by Peter Duggan being just a sensation there as a new forward, big man, and his free-taking ability. I think Clare, over the years, were always contesting matches, but when they went out of games for 15 minutes or 20-minute periods, their free-taking let them down, and it sucked the energy out of the team. But if you watch them there during the championship, they clung on against Tipperary. Peter Duggan kept them ticking over with his exceptional free-taking and kept them in the game. And that gave them confidence, I think, towards the end to push on and get these results. And that's what Clare haven't been doing in the past, is that they play so well for 50 minutes, but then they might die for 20 minutes. And, you know, John Connell is playing very good. Obviously, I said Podge Collins, they've read Tony Kelly from eight up the field. I think they're a very, very good team. Their backs, there's question marks over them. Obviously, David McInerney, probably the second best centre-back in the country at the minute. But from eight up, they're very, very good. And if they get their tails up and in their space, like maybe in Croke Park or in Semple Stadium, Turles, they're going to be a hard team to stop.
Are you telling me then that from 8 to 15 on the Clare team is better than from 8 to 15 on the Cork team?
Well, this is the other side of it. I think both sets of forwards are very good. Cork are absolutely brilliant as well. If you ask me, probably 10 to 15 on the Cork team are as good as the 10 to 15 on the Clare team. But I think Clare's midfielder are a small bit better. But as I said, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Cork, obviously, going forward, are exceptionally well. You know, you have Conor Lehan, Seamus Harney, Patrick Horgan, these guys. Or when they get in top form, it's very hard to stop them. They play a fast-running game. But as I said, both sets of backs are probably not as good as both sets of forwards, which suggests a high-scoring game.
Yeah, we could be in for a treat. So, Damien Fitzgerald, you're a shrewd judge. Evens each of two. I'm sure you know which is the value in those two.
Well,
come on, I want a bit of conviction here.
I think evens is a fair price. I think it has to be very close to evens, but if I was back in one team, it'd definitely be Clare, I think.
Oh, explain.
I just think the way they've come through, the way they're getting better every game through Munster, they look to be really, there's a really bit of hype about them now, and they seem to be a lot more together. Like, if the Munster final last year, I'd say it was about 5,000 Clare people in Turles when they played Cork last year. I'd say it'll be about 3 or 4 times that this year. Yeah, I just think they're such a well-balanced team. Like, they're the big physical forwards like Conlon and Duggan, and then they have the players off them like Shane Donald, Tony Kelly, with real pace, and so they can really beat you anyway in the forwards. And I don't think Cork have the players to mark all of them. I think a big addition for them this year, he got man the match last day, is Jamie Shanahan as well. He's had a lot of problems with injuries, but he looks to be fit now, and he's a really, really good player. He's just, you could see it the last day, he's a really good distributor of the ball from the back, so he gives those forwards a chance with the ball he's given them. And I think their backs in general, they're probably not great, but they do look to have tightened up a bit on where they were over the last couple of years. So yeah, I just fancy Clare here. I think Cork, they've been going along well enough. I think the loss of Alan Cadigan for Cork this year has been a massive loss. Like, if you had him there, their forwards are still strong, but if you had him there, they'd be just a good bit stronger, I think. So I don't think they can overcome that, and I'd fancy Clare.
So we have one vote for Clare. Aidan, is it going to be two?
Yeah, as I say, it's going to be close. I'm just tipping Clare slightly as well. Because of some of the reasons that Damien mentioned there as well, I think there's a good vibe coming out of Clare. I think they're really getting the public behind them. And they kind of fell out with the public. And you can see in their interviews after the matches, like, they're really saying the crowd was there and the crowd got behind us in the 16th man. And they're really trying to build that supporters kind of momentum to bring them to all these matches and to get them over the line. And I think Peter Duggan, as a free taker, I mentioned already, he's exceptional. He's not missing frees. That's very important. And that's something Clare didn't have over the years. And as well as John Conlon and Peter Duggan, two big men in the forward line, with the likes of Podge Collins and Shane O'Donnell booting around the place there after him as well. And I think the Clare backs are just slightly better than the Cork backs. So I would be tipping Clare if I had to go for it.
Okay, so it's two votes for Clare, Damien, what's the best bet on the coupon? Not a first goal scorer or man of the match, but your best bet on the coupon.
I like total points at 52.5. It seems very high, but it's like two high scoring teams. It is awful high, but it's the best conditions you're going to get for a hurling match. I would be going over with the 10-11. It does sound high, but just I can't see this being low scoring in Thurles. I think most Cork games have definitely gone over it anyway, the 52.5. And Clare games that haven't been in Cusick Park probably too. So I think overs at 10-11 is probably a bit.
Wow, over 52.5 points. It could be an absolute cracker, according to Damien Fitzgerald. Aidan, your best bet on the coupon?
Yeah, I was maybe even thinking about the draw, but what I would actually go for maybe is a draw at half-time, and I back Clare, so a draw at half-time and Clare to win the game.
Okay, an interesting one there. That is 14-1 with Paddy Power. A draw at half-time and Clare to win the match at 14-1. Now, your man of the match and first goal scorer predictions. We go to you first, Aidan.
Yeah, my man of the match is I'm going to go for John Conlon. I think he's in the form of his life. He's up there probably going for hurler of the year at the minute. He's going to be on Damien Cahillan, and I just have question marks over Damien Cahillan as a fullback. And if John Conlon kicks into gear and gets on a lot of ball, and I think they're going to be targeting him. You know, they do target him for the long ball. So I think John Conlon for man of the match would be a good choice. My first goal scorer, I'm going to go for Seamus Harnedy for Cork. I think Cork are going to come out all guns blazing, as are Clare are, but Seamus Harnedy has been scoring. He scored a fabulous goal the last day, and he seems to be in good form as well. So Seamus Harnedy for first goal.
Okay, Seamus Harnedy is 7-1 with Paddy Power for the first goal, and John Conlon is 10-1, a nice double-figure price to be the RTE man of the match. Damien, your selections?
I'd agree with Taggy on man of the match. I think John Conlon 10-1 is a very fair price. He's probably been close enough to hurler of the year, as Taggy was saying, and he was brilliant the first day against Cork. I'm just not sure Cork have anyone that can mark him, so I'd expect a big game from John Conlon, and he's 8-1 for first goal scorer as well, so I think that's a decent price too.
Okie dokes, very interesting. It's going to be a big game for John Conlon, so, and our two shrewd judges think that Clare will be the 2018 Munster Hurling Champions. But the big question at 4 o'clock is, who's going to be the Leinster Hurling Champions at Croke Park? It is Kilkenny v Galway. It's the Leinster final we were all hoping for, and it is the Leinster final we can't wait for. Damien Fitzgerald, some prices and handicaps, please.
We're 2-5 Galway, 10-1 to draw, and 5-2 Kilkenny. Galway -4 is evens. Handicap draw is 12-1, and Kilkenny +4 is 10-11.
And there's only one place to start here, and that's with a Kilkenny All-Ireland winner, and that's Aidan Taggy Fogarty. And Aidan, I asked you earlier on in the season, are this Kilkenny team any bloody good? And I still don't know whether they are or they aren't. Are they getting any better?
It's a tricky one. Kilkenny, for me, have been just up and down. They haven't clicked, and Brian Cody doesn't know his best team yet. I think, obviously, they're a good team. They're in a Leinster final, so they're obviously a good team. But they're trying to find their best team. And you've seen, I suppose, aspects of their game. Their second half against Wexford was very good. But what I'd be looking at was their first half against Wexford, when Wexford were really lively and didn't run out of steam. And they were just blown out of the water. And I suppose on Sunday, Brian Cody, to win this game, I think Brian Cody is going to have to take huge risks. And maybe risks that he probably won't take. Like Pádraig Welsh, I think, needs to go out wing back. I don't think they're going to win a Leinster final with Pádraig Welsh fullback. I don't think he's going to win an All-Ireland with Pádraig Welsh fullback. So why have him there fullback? You know, you have Joey Holden. He did get an All-Star fullback there before as well. I'd be putting Joey Holden back there and just chancing Pádraig Welsh out in the wing. You know, so there's a few things like that. Forwards-wise, I suppose Walter Welsh, TJ Reid are the only guys are really on the team sheet, and you just don't know whether Richie Hogan, Conor Fennelly, these guys are going to start. So from all them aspects of things, it's just up in the air. You'd be thinking Galway because they're a more settled team and everything, but you know, Brian Cody's 3 weeks to prepare for it. He's going to bring a never die attitude, which he always does anyway. Kilkenny will probably like playing in Croke Park, even though a lot of these guys haven't played there, and they probably will give a better performance there than they have in Salt Hill.
And is there any, like, you've got your ear to the ground there in Kilkenny, is there anybody flying at the minute that just is ready just to absolutely take the championship by storm? Is there any rumours spreading about lads that are just kind of jumping out their skin at the moment?
Well, I tell you, trying to get that out of a Kilkenny camp is just, it just can't be done. Even when you, even when you're gone, I tell you, because I met a few lads in the street there, and you just ask them little things, and they're looking at you going, "Why are you asking me?" Because you know, they're not going to tell anything.
So especially now that you're out. A hotshot celebrity on the Race and Post podcast.
Now, now that I'm one of these super pundits, that I think that I'd never say I do. You know, so they're looking at me going with three heads, going, "What is this lad?" But, no, look, I tell you, there's Jason Clear apparently is supposed to be flying. It, but this man hasn't even played championship for Kilkenny yet. Now he plays centre back for his club. He's a very good hurler, but as I said, there's no way that they're going to throw him in centre back in a Leinster final unless Brian just takes the risk and does it. But and he has done it before. But apparently Jason Clear is playing it. As far as the rest of the guys, you just don't know. Nothing comes out of that camp. It's just it's lockdown.
Jason Clear, there's a name that we're going to have to note. Damien. Galway are rock solid favourites here. Are they 2-5? Is there an argument to be made that they should even be a little bit shorter?
Yeah, there probably is. I suppose there's a little bit of fear there of Cody with his few weeks to prepare. And like Kilkenny are league champions, so like they have shown some form this year. But Galway are obviously very solid. Like they're 2-5 now. Wouldn't be surprised if they were shorter than that at the weekend. So if people want to back Galway, I'd say probably start backing them now. I think they might tighten up a bit, like we're not really seeing much money for Kilkenny. Yeah, like it's very hard to pick holes in this Galway team. Like they're so good everywhere. All their forwards can win their whole ball. Their midfield is lovely balance to it. Their backs are just look very tight, look like they're not gonna give much away. Maybe a bit of a doubt about the backs in Croke Park if you can spread them out and maybe start running at them. It's probably your best hope, but I'm not sure Kilkenny are the team that have the players to do that, to be more of the Munster teams, maybe.
And Galway, they're All-Ireland champions. Are they better now than they were in 2017?
Well, it's hard to say, I suppose. We've seen them play Kilkenny and Wexford, and they look very, very solid. Like, they just look like that winning the All-Ireland has maybe given them a bit of confidence. Like, last year was a big year for them because, like, not winning the All-Ireland in so long... that'll obviously take a bit of pressure off them, so they're maybe hurling a bit more loose this year. They have a really well-defined way of playing, and everyone seems to know what they're doing on the team. So far this year, you couldn't really have any complaints about them. They're solid as can be.
And what is, are they your worst losers in the outright market for the All-Ireland, and what would have been the biggest bet you would have taken in Galway?
I don't think they're our worst losers, no. I think we've taken maybe a couple of 2 grand bets on Galway at like... recently at like 5-4. Our worst losers are Limerick and Limerick and Cork are two worst losers. Limerick are by far our worst loser. People got very excited during Munster, but yeah, they're not a bad result for us, Galway, and we'll try to keep them a bit on side, I'd say, from now on.
Jeez, have a bit of money in the satchels already with Tipperary out, so yous are looking good. Aidan, what way is this game going to go?
Yeah, I suppose looking from it, it's going to be Kilkenny are obviously going to come up and come out of blocks, all guns blazing. I think if they're going to ever beat Galway, it's going to be in Croke Park. I don't think they beat him in another field. As I said, maybe try running, but it's more of a Cork or Clare thing. Maybe you could see that happening. The thing with Galway is maybe if they get ahead of themselves, if they think this thing is just going to be too easy for them. You know, I seen an article there this morning in the Independent, and Brian Cody might put up in the dressing room David Burke saying Kilkenny have a fear of playing Galway, and that is just not the case. And I think Cody will use that and give him some incentive. And even to hear that coming out of a player, it's not good for me, you know. Are they getting ahead of themselves? Are they thinking it's going to be too easy? They could get caught, you know, one day maybe they mightn't turn up, which happens to teams on the big days. But I just feel Galway are just too strong, you know, their forwards, you know, Joe Canning, Joseph Cooney, Connor Cooney. I don't think we have the backs to mark these guys. And even if the likes of Joe Canning doesn't have a good game, you have Connor Cooney stepping up, you'll have David Burke stepping up, you'll have Connor Whelan stepping up. And I think they have just too much of a spread for this Kilkenny team. And we are limited in the sense that basically I think we're looking for a fullback and a centre-back. And we'd be a way better team if we had them. So I think these things get found out in the big stage. So I think Galway, I think all the way for Sunday.
Oh, a Kilkenny man tipping Galway.
There, I wish it wasn't that case, but my heart is telling me one thing, but my head is telling me Galway. So
there's a man that wants to keep his job with the Racing Post. He knows he is not trying to impress people down the street in Kilkenny. He just wants to keep his job, and he fancies Galway. By how much do you think, Aidan?
I think it's not going to be a cricket score, but I do think if Galway spread it out and get on top of Kilkenny and get their tails up, and they will want to put them to the sword after all the years that Kilkenny have beaten Galway, I think it could be maybe just a 4 or 5 point game.
Okay, lovely stuff. So Galway to shade it by 4 or 5 points. Damien, how do you see this one ending up?
I think Galway will, probably similar enough to Taggy, probably 5 or 6 points. I'd say it'll be tight for a long time. I could see it being very tight for most of the game. And I think Galway might just pull away towards the end to win by 5 or 6 points. I think it could be a tight game. Like, I think both defences might be on top for a good bit of the game. Under 2.5 goals, you can back at 6-4. So I think that's a decent enough price. I don't think it'll be a lot of goals in this game.
Okie dokes. Under 2.5 goals, 6-4 with Paddy Power for Damien Fitzgerald. Aidan, your man of the match and first goal scorer selections.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Joe Canning for man of the match. He's going beyond Killian Buckley, but Killian Buckley tends to sit kind of deep in front of Pádraig Welsh. And if Joe Canning goes out roaming out in Croke Park, he can do serious damage. And my first goal scorer, I'm going to go for Conor Clooney. He's playing exceptionally well there for Galway, and he's really having a great year. So Conor Clooney for first goal.
Damien, I'm surprised to see Joe Sheridan, I was going to say. I'm surprised to see Joe Canning as big as 13-2 for man of the match.
Yeah, I suppose compared to a few years ago, like, you have a lot more Galway lads can actually win men the match. Like, if you look at, like, he's only, like, Conor Cooney has been brilliant. He's only 15-2. So it's just there's so many people on the Galway side that you have to give a chance to, that it kind of pushes out Joe's price a bit.
And Conor Cooney is 13-2 for first goal scorer. Who would your selections be in those two markets, Damien?
I'll go Joe Canning for first goal scorer, actually. 15-2. I think it's just you wouldn't have got a price anywhere near that a few years ago. I think he scored a goal against Kilkenny the first day. I think he's still a massive threat if he gets the ball anywhere near goal. So I think Joe Canning first goal scorer, 15-2. And man the match, as I was saying, I think it might be a tight enough game, so I think it might go off to a back, and I think Pádraig Mannion for Galway at a bigger price, 25-1. I think he's a chance. He's well able to score. He can get a couple of points from play, and he's a very solid player in general. So I think 25-1 Pádraig Mannion, good chance man the match.
Oh, lovely stuff. We like those 25-1 pokes. So now it's time for the best bets of the weekend.
I think that Mayo are absolute certainties and that the 2-point handicap could be obliterated.
Aidan, your best bet of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Munster final and the one I picked out there. So I'm going to say, look, a draw at half time and clear to win the game. That's what I'm going to stick with.
Whoa, that was 14-1, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, nice 14-1 nap for Aidan Fogarty. Damien Fitzgerald, your best bet on the hurling coupon this weekend?
I'm going to keep it simple, Clare at evens.
Clare at even money for Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Damien is going to be staying with us in part two to preview round three of the football qualifiers with Joe Sheridan. My thanks to Aidan Fogarty for looking at the Munster and Leinster hurling finals. Join us after the break.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the GA Postcast with me, David Jennings, Damien Fitzgerald from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And in part two now, we're joined by Joe Sheridan to preview round three of the football qualifiers. And we thought we'd be going to Croke Park for Kildare v Mayo in a doubleheader with Cavan and Tyrone. But Kildare have stood firm. And we're going to St. Conlett's Park in Newbridge on Saturday night. Joe, first of all, right decision from the Kildare management and team. Obviously, it has come to pass that the game will be in Newbridge. And they'll certainly take a lot of confidence. It's one victory. It's only a small one, but it's a victory already for Kildare.
Yeah, and that's probably what they needed. You know, to be fair, they don't have the players that Mayo would have. So they need to get some sort of an advantage. And, you know, this will help them. They're at home, the home crowd with them. I can understand what the Croke Park are doing. Obviously, 8,000 people into a championship game with Mayo playing. It's not that many, and you like to try and get as many people to watch the games, and it's understandable. And you can debate either way, but I think in hindsight, you know, the GAA were probably just trying to do the right thing for the game, have two games at Croke Park and different things like that. But
they were trying to do the right thing for their pockets. What are you on about?
They've enough money. 50,000 is not going to do much for their pockets. They've plenty of money. So I don't think 50,000 or whatever it was going to be, the gate receipts was going to make much of a difference.
No matter how much you have, Joe, you always want more.
Well, I suppose, yeah. But look, it's good for Kildare. It's good for the business people in Kildare. They'd be delighted the pubs will be packed on Saturday evening. And look, at the end of the day, we just hope it's going to be a good game and be a good competitive match that we can all look forward to and enjoy the game.
Damien Fitzgerald, what I want you to do now is, first of all, tell us the prices that were originally chalked up for Mayo v Kildare when the match is in Croke Park, and tell us how they have changed for the game being in Newbridge.
Yeah, well, when it was in, well, when we first put it up, we thought it was in Newbridge. So, the price in Croke Park were 3-1 Kildare, 9-1 to draw, and 1-3 Mayo.
And then
the prices are 5-2 Kildare, 8-1 to draw, and 4-9 Mayo.
Okay, so a slight alteration.
Yeah, it's a bit of a difference. Like, it is, it mightn't sound big, but it is a bit of a difference. Like,
and the handicap.
The handicap has moved from, it was four in Croke Park, and it's 3 now in Newbridge.
Joe, you've played against this Kildare team, most of these players. You know them pretty well, as good as anybody knows this Kildare team. They flatter to deceive on umpteen occasions, and your Meath team were always probably slightly better than Kildare. How do you view this Kildare team at the moment?
Yeah, and especially from last year, I expected big things from them, and they probably haven't pushed on as much as I'd like to. They have some really nice footballers, and that's probably, you hit the nail on the head. They flattered to deceive. There's some very good footballers, some really skillful players like to Niall Kelly, you know, Paddy Brophy, Daniel Flynn. They're all very good footballers. Their midfield is very strong with Feely and Tommy Murdoch at midfield, you know. So they're just lacking something. I don't know what it is. You know, there's some teams you'd always see playing, whether it be club championship or, you know, throughout the sort of county championship, and they're lacking something. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that killer instinct. Maybe they have a lot of potential, but I can't see them upsetting Mayo now at the weekend. That's the only thing.
Okay, Damien, Kildare, I suppose from an odds compiler's point of view, they're quite a tricky team to price up, because they have been playing Division 1 all year and competitive in quite a number of games, but then they went on that terrible winless run, and they're gradually getting things together. You see any hope for them on Saturday evening?
Yeah, they're one of the teams that are hard to price up, because like, you look at the talent in that Kildare team, and they should be competing with, they shouldn't be too far off Mayo, like, if you look at talent. I'd give them a chance. I think, like, there's a chance this venue thing has just brought them all together, and, like, if they're ever going to be put in a performance, it'll surely be this weekend. And as Joe was saying, like, they have some class players, like, likes of Daniel Flynn was, I know they didn't win any matches in Division 1, but, like, Daniel Flynn was as good as any player in the league. They were tight a lot of games, but, like, losing is a habit, and it seems to be a habit that Kildare have. In tight games especially, it just seems that they always find a way to lose. So I think they'll give Mayo a serious game, and like, I think it'll be very tight, but I think Mayo might just get out of jail by 1 or 2 points, as they usually do.
And with that in mind, like, I'm looking at this match and you're saying to yourself, Kildare have backed themselves into a corner, they've come out fighting, and imagine that Kildare dressing room at 6:30 on Saturday evening, where they have basically made themselves front page of national newspapers by what they've done. It has been the story of the summer. They're in the dressing room. They've got this siege mentality. Surely they will want to run through a brick wall to prove to people that we're a proper team. We're going to prove why we wanted this game to be in Newbridge. And with that in mind, Joe Sheridan, surely 2-1 Kildare to lead at halftime, given that Mayo are notoriously slow starters. 2-1 Kildare to lead at halftime. If they're to have any chance of winning this game, they have to lead at halftime, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But as you said, it's Kildare at the end of the day. Like, they could turn up and they might not turn up. You know, I think when you look, like, they were only ahead in the last, with 2 minutes to go against Longford, you know, so that sort of says a lot. I tipped them to beat them by 5 last weekend. They were there at Longford, put it up to them, and Longford, I know, have been steady all year, but I just can't see them doing anything. You know, I think this is going to be perfect for Mayo, because all the talks about Kildare are going to have to come out. They're going to have to play well. They're going to have to win to back up with all this effort and all the talk they've been doing about getting the game into Newbridge. So for Mayo, I think it's great for Mayo. Not a word has been said about Mayo, and I think they'll come out. There'll be no pressure on them, and they'll be saying, let's give these boys a rattle for bringing us to Newbridge and not letting us play in Croke Park. And that's the way I think Mayo will be thinking. And Kildare could lead at halftime, but it'd be just maybe very slightly. But it could be a decent bet. But I'm not going to risk an inconsistent Kildare maybe be winning at halftime.
I like that. That's the flip side of the argument that I suppose Mayo, not a word about them. Damien, how good is this Mayo team? I've been reasonably impressed with them, I have to say, this year.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good last weekend by their...
They were a better team against Galway as well.
They were, yeah. They were unlucky with the sending off.
Now, David, don't be getting sour grapes because Mayo lost.
Don't get me started on this Galway team. The most overrated football team of all time. They're like England in the World Cup. Anyway, go on, we're talking about Mayo. Damien, Mayo...
Yeah, I think they were pretty good last week. Like, when the game was there to be won, they won it. Their subs made a bit of an impact the last day, which is something that you'd be looking for because it's probably something that hasn't happened all the time. Some of the lesser lights, like Jason Doherty, Kevin McLaughlin, both stood up and have very good games. Yeah, I think they're going okay, Mayo. I think they're in a better place this time now than they were this time last year. Yeah, I think they will win. Like, I think they'll just get over the line, and like once they get to the Super 8s, they'll be a match. Nobody's going to get an easy game off them. But yeah, I think they'd have preferred not having to go to Kildare here. I think they'd have preferred having it in Croke Park. It gives Kildare a chance. I think Kildare have an outside chance here, and probably wouldn't have had in Croke Park. Yeah, I think Mayo will win. Mayo 1-3 points is 11-4. I think that's a decent bet. I do like that halftime bet that you mentioned. I think that's a very good bet.
Yeah, but you have to keep that now 2-1 until Saturday. 2-1 until Saturday morning.
We'll keep that until Saturday morning. I think could be a very high scoring game as well. Both teams score a goal is 10-11. I think that's a decent bet as well.
That certainly is, and you didn't hear me there. I was kind of butting in, but I was just saying Kevin McLaughlin for Mayo has probably been their most impressive player in 2018. Again, the last day 3 points. You know, he kept their heads above water with that late point in the league. And 16-1 for man of the match. I think he's constantly underrated in the man of the match market.
Yeah, I think he's a very underrated player in general.
He's excellent against Galway as well.
He's very, very solid. And I think, like, if he wasn't in the Mayo team, you'd really see a big difference. Like, he's a lad you probably don't notice all the time. But I think if he was to be out, I think you'd see a big difference to this Mayo team.
Joe Sheridan, what's the best bet on the Kildare v Mayo match coupon?
Yeah, I'm pretty strong on Mayo here. There is a couple of markers that I was looking at, but I think Mayo -3 at 11-10 is a great price. It could be more. I think Mayo in the last 10 or 15 minutes will pull away, and it could be up to 5 or 6. But I'll stick with -3 at 11-10 is an outstanding bet for Mayo.
Okay, and your selections for first goal scorer and man of the match?
Yeah, I was looking. I was picking Killian O'Connell the last couple of times because he was hitting form in the first couple of games. But I'm going to go with, as you were saying, about Kevin McLaughlin. He's very, very consistent, and he always will get a goal. His pace is incredible. You know, that, I don't think anyone could ever get to stay with him, and he could sneak in behind then on an overlap from the sort of flick off from Killian O'Connell or Andy Moore. And 16-1 is a massive price for Kevin McLaughlin. I'm going with Aidan O'Shea. He hasn't really had a big game this year for them. It's going to be a very big battle at midfield with himself and Shamey and with Moolock and Feely at midfield. So I'm expecting him to drive things on from midfield. And he's just so frustrating. And you can see how Mayo fans get frustrated with him. You know, he's a lot of pressure on him, and he's talked about doing this and doing that and having to take the whole Mayo team on their shoulders. And he maybe doesn't step up to it sometimes, but I'm hoping... this Saturday he can take the pressure, he can drive on, and then 10-1 for Aidan O'Shea for man the match.
Lovely stuff. So 10-1 for Aidan O'Shea man the match, and 16-1 Kevin McLaughlin for first goal scorer for Joe Sheridan. For you, Damien Fitzgerald?
Yeah, first goal scorer I'll go Daniel Flynn on the Kildare side. I think if you look at last week's game against Tip, Michael Quinlivan had Kildare had Mayo in a lot of trouble, and I think Daniel Flynn is a similar enough physical threat up in the full forward line, and I think he could really put Mayo in trouble earlier. I'm not sure Mayo have anyone that will be able to mark him. So 7-1 Daniel Flynn for a goal scorer. And on man of the match, I think if Mayo just edged, maybe Lee Keegan at 10-1. I thought he played very well considering it was his first game back last week. And he's playing in midfield now, it seems. So he'll be driving forward a bit more as well, which gives him more chance to impress. So Lee Keegan at 10-1 is a fair price, I think.
Excellent, and don't forget to back Kildare to lead at halftime with a 2-1 with Paddy Power. So moving on to 5 o'clock, Brewster Park and Fermanagh now hosting Cavan v Tyrone. And Damien, can we get some prices and handicaps for this game, please?
We're 4-1 Cavan, 12-1 to draw, and 2-9 Tyrone. Our handicap is 5-point handicap, Cavan plus 5, 10-11, handicap draw 10-1, and Tyrone minus 5 is evens.
Tyrone, Damien. Obviously, I was deeply in love with them for all of 2017 and the first maybe 5 months of 2018. Our relationship is going through a bit of a rocky period at the moment. Wasn't impressed with them in Navan at all. And last week again, like, they did what they had to do, but they're not exactly All-Ireland contenders, are they?
No, it doesn't look like it at this stage. Looks like they've gone back from last
backwards
year.
They do, yeah.
Like, I think, like, obviously Lee Brennan and Mark Bradley are big losses in the forwards, and if they could get them back, it might give them a bit more hope. But they're finding a way, and they're just getting through. They're not being very impressive. I think the likes of Peter Hart, Matty Donnelly, and your man Niall Sludden, the kind of is a bit more scoring pressure now on them because they're missing so many inside forwards. Yeah, they're getting through, and I think the thing with Tyrone is, like, they're always going to have a basic system that means that they're going to be hard to beat, where even if they're not playing well. So they're getting through, and I suppose that's all you can ask until they get to Croke Park, but they don't really look like All-Ireland contenders to anyone at the moment.
Joe, what do you make of Tyrone?
Yeah, and it's amazing. Like, we all spoke at the beginning of the year about how strong they were going to be in the squad, but a couple of injuries to the main players, it's amazing how much it sets even a team like Tyrone, that we all think of a very strong squad, but you look at your main players, like the Colin Kavanagh, Peter Hart was out, and McCann was gone as well, you know, so it's with them boys gone, it really does shake up your team, and you know, the pressure comes on, so the players that probably aren't as strong, and the lesser known players, and they just probably haven't done that this year for Tyrone. You can see them getting them players back and a bit of match fitness and trying to get back some sort of a form. As you were saying against Meath, I know they weren't as impressive, but they did. And Meath probably should have won it in normal time if you look at the game, the way it ended up. Tyrone missed 3 1-on-1s, I think. So if they even got 2 of them goals, the game would have been a lot different. So I'm impressed the way they are attacking, but defensively, they're conceding quite a lot of scores this year, which isn't sort of known for any Tyrone team. They usually pack the defences, push out and drive on, and they have that sort of serious counter-attacking offensive line that they can push from the half-back line all the way through to the full forward line. And, you know, Matty Donnelly had a great game the last day, and I'd like to see his form picking up. As I tipped him to have a big year, and I'm hoping now if Tyrone get to the Super 8, he will drive things on. But at the minute, there's no real confidence about Tyrone hitting semi-finals of an All-Ireland this year, anyway.
The one thing, Damien, I noticed about Tyrone when I was at the Meath match in Navan, they were very kind of like very lethargic and you know, was almost going through the motions, and all of a sudden they're in deep trouble. But the one thing that I did notice that they have learned from, they got 4-5 clear-cut goal chance in the first half against Meath. They hit the crossbar twice. Andy Colgan made a good save. What I did notice against Carlow was they're working their goal chances better. Niall Sludden had a flick in last week, and they just seem to be able to basically create the extra man and finish better. They've obviously worked on how to create the best goal, giving the ball to the man in the best position and goal-scoring opportunities. Yeah. With that in mind, their pace up front, I think over 1.5 Tyrone goals at 6-4 might be a bet here.
Yeah, I could see that. Cavan, I suppose, traditionally, you think they're pretty defensive side. They haven't really been this year. If you know, Donegal put up a serious score against them, and sure, in the league final, Roscommon scored, I think, was 4 or 5 goals. So, yeah, I can definitely see some logic behind that. Tyrone, they always make goal chances because they have so many players pouring forward and running off shoulders and stuff against teams of this standard anyway. So yeah, I think that's a pretty decent price, to be honest.
Okay, so that's 6-4 for over 1.5 Tyrone goals. Joe, what's the best bet in this match?
Yeah, I'd be thinking the same as yourself. And Tyrone, like, they've scored 5 goals in the last 2 games, but also Cavan have scored a lot of goals. You know, they're a goal-scoring team. And as we're saying, Tyrone are conceding a number of scores and giving chances away. So what I'm looking at is over 2.5 goals in the game. I think, what is it? Is it 9? Did I see 9-5? No.
Over 2.5 goals is 6-4.
6-4. 6-4, sorry, yeah. So that's what I'd be looking at. Cavan, you know, they have McVeely back, Shawnee Johnson, Groh Kinnan, and them boys, they are missing some of their main players. That's the only problem. Lads, went out. And we were actually, I was down in Cavan last night watching, we were playing a challenge game against Ram United, and I was chatting to a few of the Cavan boys down there, and they have said, this is the worst Cavan team they've ever seen. They were at the game last weekend, and they nearly walked away at halftime. They said, these boys haven't hope of getting anywhere near Tyrone. So, yeah, there's not a lot of confidence in Cavan the way they're playing, but I still see them getting great goal chances, and over 2.5 goals at 6-4 is the best bet for me.
Yeah, I like that one too. That's a good shout. Damien, what's your best bet on the coupon?
Yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off the goals bet that you have there. I think Cavan +5. I don't think they'll win, but I think it seems like a lot. It seems like a lot of points when it's in Brewster, which is a very tight kind of pitch. Tyrone probably not going absolutely brilliantly. 5 points, like, I think they'll probably be able to keep it within that. So I think Cavan +5 is a decent bet.
Okay, very good. And first goal scorer and man of the match, we'll go to you first, Damien.
First goal scorer, I'm gonna go with your man here.
Go on, Niall.
yeah, he's 14s for first goal scorer. He got a goal last day, and 12s for man of the match. Seems like the sort of game where he'll need to have a big impact for...
The only thing I have noticed, because obviously we have been having an affair for the last 3 years, but I've been watching Niall Sutton very, very closely, and Joe will be able to explain better here. With so much in-depth analysis from managers and opposition teams, Niall Sutton is one of these players that has to get behind the ball, okay? So he plays like Graham Riley played for Meath. He's a little bit of a, you might call it a cheater, I don't know, but basically when somebody gets the ball 45, 50 yards out, what he does is he loops around behind them and then he tries to take a ball off the shoulder. But what opposition managers have obviously been studying videos of Niall Sutton, and even against Meath, he found it so hard because Seamus Lavin, I think it was, just basically stood right in front of him all the time, blocking that run. So instead of chasing the ball, he was basically just blocking that run. It seems to me that managers might just have Niall Sutton sussed. That's a hard sentence to say. So that's what worries me, because obviously I'm a huge fan. But he does do that a lot. He gets behind the play, looks for the ball off the shoulder. It's exactly the way Graham Riley plays for St. Colum Kills and tries to play with Meath. That's where I think he could have problems just breaking through, because his kind of game plan is a little bit sus. Joe, anyway, enough of my rant about Niall Sutton. Your choice for first goal scorer and man of the match, please.
Yeah, you're right about Niall Sutton, like Graham Riley. And once they are sussed out, it is very hard for them to get into the game, because they're that one-dimensional type of player. So if that's exactly, put out the game, then it's very hard. And as you said, the in-depth analysis from managers and squads now, they see that pretty easily, and they'll try and suss it out and just stop them running. Once they stop their running, they find it hard to build up the pace again. So yeah, you're probably right with Nigel. I'm going to go with Peter Hart, first goal at 10-1. Like, he's a penalty taker. They tend to get a lot of penalties for some reason thrown. I don't know if it's the diving that they were doing last year or that couple of years ago, but it seems to be coming into play sometime maybe. But
that's it, Joe. Bring us to court.
Thanks. Yeah. Peter Hart, like, he's deadly. Like, he attacks them the half back line, and he's very hard to stop. So I go Peter Hart 10-1, and my man Matty Donnelly, great game the last day with 4 or 5 points, and at 12-1 for man of the match, I think he's going to have a very big influence on the game.
Lovely stuff. And we've also got 2 other round 3 football qualifiers on Saturday as well. It is Monaghan against Leitrim and Armagh v Clare. And we were talking off air, Damien Fitzgerald from Paddy Power, and you couldn't shut up about this Armagh team. So tell everybody why they have to back Armagh to be clear.
Yeah, I think the thing about this Armagh team is whatever other issues they might have, they're very, very fit. And on a day like Saturday, where it's going to be roasting, and like, fitness will really come to the key. And at home, I just think they'll wear down Clare, and they're put up some big scores in the qualifiers. So I think Armagh minus two at 11-10, I think that's a good bet. I just think their fitness really tells in qualifier matches. They have a good record in qualifiers as well. So I think Armagh at home will get over clear.
Armagh minus two, a very strong vote from Damien Fitzgerald. Joe, how do you see this one going, Armagh v Clare?
Yeah, I just seen the price and I just think 15 to 8 is a massive price for Clare. I know Damien was saying the game is in Armagh and it's a massive boost for any team when you're playing a qualifier game at home, but I just think it's too big of a price. Like, Clare had some good games in Division 2. They have some very good forwards. They're quite lively. They'll be able to withstand sort of the physical threat from Armagh and the way they attack and the way they get stuck in the opposition. As Damien was saying, the fitness, that's McGeaney just driven into them. They will be very fit. But I think Clare have just a few classier players. And I can see it being a very close game, but 15-8 for Clare, I just think is too big of a price to pass up.
And the final football qualifier is it's in Park Shaw McDiarmida in Carrigan-Shannon is Leitrim v Monaghan. I presume, Damien, this is all one-way traffic in the betting. Could you give us some price and handicaps?
Yeah, it's 1-66 Monaghan, 40-1 to draw, 16-1 Leitrim. The handicap is 13 points. Leitrim plus 13, 10 to 11. 11's the handicap draw and Monaghan minus 13 at evens.
Joe, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm just going to enjoy watching it. I don't think there's much betting value in the game, even the 13 points. I'm not too sure. It's quite a lot for Monaghan to put up, but they could do it as well because Leitrim obviously don't have the quality that Monaghan would have. It's in Carrick and Shannon, and that does help. I remember we were down there a number of years ago and only for an outside of the foot 45-yard shot from Ollie Murphy, we were getting beaten against them that day. So anything could happen in a qualifier if you're not up for it. But I think Monaghan are just slowly building up a great bit of momentum. They've got a nice little run through the back through the qualifiers, and I think that they will win quite easily here.
Damien, Leitrim racked up 25 points against Louth. With that in mind, I know it's obviously Monaghan and this is a completely different kettle of fish, but Leitrim over 11.5 points at 4-5, that might be a little bit low. I'd expect them maybe to get 14 or 15.
Yeah, that sounds pretty decent to me. The qualifier games are generally pretty high scoring. So I could see them getting up around there. I'd probably like the Leitrim plus 13. I'd definitely be on that side of it. Like, I think the thing about this is, Monaghan are going to have another qualifier next weekend. So if they go in at halftime 7 or 8 points up, I think they could kind of start taking off some of their likes. Conor McManus might be taking off to give him a bit of a rest because they are going to have another big qualifier next weekend. So if Monaghan get up by 7 or 8 points, I could see them like resting some of their main players. And if that happens, I think Leitrim will keep it within 13.
Okay, Leitrim plus 13, 10 to 11 for Damien Fitzgerald. Right, lads, your best bets of the weekend on the GAA Round 3 football qualifier coupon. Joe, we'll come to you first.
Yeah, I am going with Tyrone here for my nap of the weekend. After being down, chatting to them Cavan boys, this Cavan team have no chance at all. And I'm sticking my neck out with Tyrone minus 7 at 9-5 for my nap of the weekend.
Tyrone minus 7, 9-5 against Cavan for Joe Sheridan. Damien Fitzgerald?
Armagh minus 2 at 11-10, and also that Kildare halftime bet.
That's mine, don't be stealing. Yeah, there we go. That's Armagh minus 2, 11-10 for Damien Fitzgerald against Clare. And of course, I'm going to go for Kildare to lead at halftime at 2-1 with Paddy Power. That's it for this week, folks. Enjoy the Munster and Leinster hurling finals. Enjoy the four football qualifiers in round 3. My thanks to Aidan Taggy Fogarty, who joined us for the hurling preview in round 1, to Joe Sheridan for looking at the football qualifiers, and to Damien Fitzgerald, who was with us in both parts. I've been David Jennings. Thanks for listening.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.